Good morning. I want you to go ahead and stand with us this morning. I don't know about you, but I am so glad it is a brand new week. We have had quite the week in our house. It's been an eventful week, but Sunday is here. It is a new day, and God is a good, good God. You know, it's not often. I don't want another week like this, but when things like this happen, when just events happen that you're not prepared for, you're not thinking about, you don't want to happen, and you got to get to the end of it today, right? You kind of have two choices. You can either just think about everything that happened, or you can press forward and you can look forward to what's to come. And so I've had two options this morning. I've had an option to think about the week, or I have the option to trust in a good, good Father and to be so thankful that in the darkest of time, He is the brightest light. In the most stressful of time, He is the Prince of Peace. Paul said, and this is my commitment to myself, to my family, to you this morning. He said, not that I have already obtained all of this or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. All that stuff, all that goodness, Christ took hold of you, and I'm going to claim, I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to grab it. And brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, and I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press forward because I know that the best is to come. I know that I'm thankful to be in this house. I'm just going to say this again. We're not going to get started until I just shout out with gratitude. I am thankful to be here right now. I'm going to shout out with gratitude again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am standing right here on this stage ready to enter. I've already entered into the presence of God. I'm already here. I'm already here. Come with me. Come with me and celebrate His presence. Celebrate that it is a new day, that He is a good, good Father, that nothing catches Him by surprise. And we're going to testify to that this morning. We're going to testify to His goodness, of what He's done, of what He's doing, of what He's going to do. And we're going to stir gratitude. Go ahead and just begin to thank Him right now. Father, we just thank You for Your presence. We enter into Your courts with thanksgiving, into Your presence with praise. We say, this is the day that You have made, and I rejoice. And I rejoice and I be glad in it. And I rejoice and I be glad in it. And we rejoice and we be glad in it. It is a new day. It is a new day. It is a new day. We thank You, Father.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. Freedom, a savior. believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe him, if you receive him, if you can feel him, somebody testify. He's a pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, give him praise this morning.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I've been held by the Savior. Bye.
Water, you won't be drowned. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned. Of course, I shared with you a little bit at the beginning of the service that I had to choose to fix my thoughts. And I've chosen, I've fixed them. Even Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said, for the joy that he set before him. He set that joy before him. And this morning, I've talked to God a lot this week. I haven't been listening a whole lot because I've had a lot to say to him. And God's okay with that. But this morning, I wasn't even talking to him. And, you know, sometimes I talk to God and I just kind of hope I hear back from him. And you keep waiting. You keep waiting. And sometimes you hear. Sometimes you're like, God, where are you? This morning, I wasn't even talking. He just talks to me. Isn't God good like that sometimes? You're not even, because sometimes he's trying to talk to us and we're not listening. And sometimes he just makes himself known. And he made himself known to me this morning. I'm getting ready and I'm looking in the mirror and he said, Dusty, he said, everything that's been stolen from you this week, I will pay back. And I think, I thought, I received that. That's good. Whatever, and I remember the scripture, wherever the locust, the canker worm stolen, that I will repay back to you. But I just thought, God, I'm just thankful that we made it through. I'm just thankful that I'm thankful. But he says, no, listen to me. What's been taken from you, I'm going to give back. And this word is not just for you, Dusty. This word, you go tell my body, this word is for them. Because God just doesn't say, hey, I know it's been tough. I know you've been having a tough time, and I'm gonna make this better. I'm gonna pay back to you more. Give back to you more, because he is a God who is always above and beyond. He is a God who is able to do abundantly. Not able, he will do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. He will do. Whatever that thing is that you may feel like God's never going to redeem in my life, or it is what it is, and there are definitely things in life that it is what it is, and this week's been an is what it is, but God is so good to say, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to redeem that for you, because that's what he does. That's who he is. So this morning, as we sing this next song, is bring it all to the table. Bring all that stuff. And you just say, God, I'm going to trade this in. I traded my week in. I'm going to trade this in for everything that you have for me. I'm going to trade it in. I'm going to bring it to your table, and I'm going to trade it in for your promises that are good and that are abundantly more than we can imagine, because he's a good God and he loves to give to his children. He loves to give to you. He loves to bless you. And the table's for everybody. There is no one who is not welcome at this table. There is no gift that he gives that is not for every single person in this house. It is for you. It is this. That's not just for me. That is a word for you this morning to give back to you. Amen.
Of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. Nothing he ain't seen before. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, your sadness, there's a Savior ready calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table. God, we just thank you so much this morning that we can bring it to you, Father, and you're always right there, God. You're always right there, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us an anointing, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that because we're anointed and we have just unreasonable things come at us, Father, that good comes out of that because of your anointing, God. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, thank you for your anointing on us and this church, Father. In Jesus' name.
Stuff. Well, it was bright up here. Hard to compete with Tiger teeing off at 9 and the storms coming in. If I see you on that phone, I know you're not looking at the scriptures. So I got you covered. Just throw up your hand when he hits a birdie. I made a commitment in my second year of pastoring. I made a commitment to the people I would pastor for the rest of my life. I'll tell you why I made that commitment, when I made it. I remember the Sunday morning I made it, a Sunday afternoon after the service I made it, or the next week I made it, that if you're going to get up on Sunday morning, you're going to work all week, and you're going to get up on Sunday morning, and you're going to get ready. You're going to get your kids ready. You're going to go through what it takes to get here, that I'm going to give you something good, that I'm going to make it worth your while for being here. I'll tell you why I made that in a little bit. I'll never forget the Sunday after the Sunday that I made it. It's all kind of different types of preaching. There's topical preaching. There's expository preaching. There's preaching, manuscript preaching, where you just write it out and read it out. And then there's one called, and I don't use this a whole lot, but today and next Sunday I'm going to use this style. It's called Bible reading preaching. That sounds like a pretty good way to preach, though, doesn't it? Bible reading preaching. What you do, you just read and preach. You read and you hit something, it hits you, and you talk about it. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do some Bible reading preaching. So if you're not watching Tiger on your phone, you can turn to the scripture in Luke chapter 19. And we're going to talk about this morning his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We're going to talk about his triumphant descent into hell. And we're going to talk about his triumphant disarming of everything that's ever against you. Is that worth coming for? His triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, his triumphant descent into hell, his triumphant disarming of everything that's against you and everything that will ever be against you. Wow. He took it all out. Say he took it all out. Took it all out. Defeated every enemy that you will ever have in your life. Every moment, anything you ever go through, he has conquered it for you, that you come out of it a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. But I love this story, so let's read the Bible and preach. Ready? It says, after telling this story, and the story he told was about talents and giving people talents, and he said, you know, use these for me, and because one day you're going to give an account for it. One day I'm going to stand before him And I'm going to give an account for what I did with what I got. And he said, you took your talents and you doubled them. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How many know by doing what God wants you to do, joy comes out of it? Then he said to another, because you did with your talents, you doubled them, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to make you rule over many cities. I don't really know what that means, tell you the truth. But there's an indication that one day in the future that we're going to rule over certain cities. That's what Jesus said. Another one, he said, what did you do with your talent? He said, well, I knew what kind of man you are, God. I knew how tough you are. And so I went and I hid my talents so that I wouldn't lose them, so I could give them back to you when you came. And he said, you wicked servant, at least you could have taken what I gave you and put it in the bank and drew interest. But because you didn't take what I gave you, you're a wicked servant. A wicked servant. Think about that for a moment. He didn't go and do anything bad. He just didn't do anything good. Oh. He didn't go do anything bad. He just didn't do anything good. And he's called wicked. Wow. And so after telling that parable, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. And walking ahead of his disciples, he came to the town of Bethage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Anyone asks, why are you untying that coat? Just say, the Lord needs it. Now, Jesus undoubtedly has prepared the way. Jesus knew what he was going to do the day before he went into Jerusalem. So he tells this guy, I'm going to send two disciples to you, and they're going to ask for your coat that has never been ridden. And just think about that. A donkey that nobody's ever sat on, he's going to sat on. Now, when I was young, I was dumb. And I broke a horse one time. My brother-in-law and I decided we're going to break a horse. So we put a saddle on this horse. And when you get on a horse or a donkey that's never been ridden, let me tell you, they don't like it. And I got bucked off that horse several times before we ever got it broke. I would never do that today. That was way back when I wasn't smart. So he says, but get this donkey, and it's something significant to that no man's ever ridden, because I want to show you what the Prince of Peace can do to all of creation. I want to show you what the Creator of the universe has control over. I want to show you how even the animal kingdom knows who I am. I want to show you that the waves and the sea obey me. I want to show you that I am in everything you'll ever see, that I am there. So they went and found the coat just as Jesus had said, and sure enough, as they was untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying the coat? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garment on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. Would they? Absolutely. Why? Because he created everything. He created everything. He says in Romans chapter 2 that they took the creation and they began to serve and worship the creation more than the Creator. And he says, and when you do that, you remove yourself far from the Creator, and you're enjoying his creation, but you could enjoy it so much more if you brought the Creator back into it and you saw him in everything that you see. The rocks would cry out if they don't. 2.5 million Jews were in Jerusalem at this time. It was Passover. 250,000 lambs were being slain for every 10 people for the sacrifice of Passover. These people who were praising him and worshiping him were not crucifying him on Friday. These people were his devoted followers, even devoted at this time and at this moment more than even his disciples were. He came as the prince. He came on the donkey. Kings came into their cities one of two ways. They come in on a white horse with all of their enemies behind them in chains, or they come in on a donkey representing the peace that has come to the nation or to the city. Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey before the battle, because his battle was not going to be won with swords and spears, but his battle was going to be won by peace. His battle was going to be won by bringing peace to Jerusalem. So he wanted them to know, this donkey no man's ever sat on, but when the Prince of Peace sits on him, all is calm and all is peaceful, because the King of Peace is here. 2.5 million, think about it. They would have the red carpet out for a king to come in, but there was no carpet for Christ, so they took palm branches. They took their clothes and they laid it out, whatever they could lay out, for the king. He announced himself king. You got to realize something. All of his life, he said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody who I am. But this moment, he announces, I'm the king of Israel. And not just the king of Israel, I'm the king of kings. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Understand the way to peace. You know why they didn't? The ones who didn't accept him didn't accept him? Because they wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted him to conquer their enemies to get peace out of war. You don't win your enemies by conquering your enemies. You win them in love. And that's what Jesus was doing. I'm not coming to conquer Rome. I'm coming to win Rome over. And he did. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and circle you, close in you from every side. They will crush you to the ground. And your children, your enemies will not leave a single stone in place, because you did not accept the opportunity for salvation, or you missed your day of visitation. It was either Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. I don't remember. I know it was one of them. I was preaching at the end of the message. I gave an altar call like we do sometimes. When given the altar call, there were two young men standing in the back of the church. They had their hands on the pews. I could literally see their knuckles and the redness. They was holding the pew so hard. Both of them were crying, bawling. And I continued to plead and plead, because I saw what was going on. I knew these two men God was dealing with, and they really, really, really needed to come to the altar. I did everything I could do. I said everything I could say. We closed the service. They left. They got in an altercation that week with a man. They killed him and threw him down a well. They missed the day of their visitation. We have an opportunity every single day and we can miss an opportunity for salvation. And salvation is not saving someone from hell. Salvation is saving someone from anything they may be going through in life. It's be able to give that encouraging word and lift somebody up if we will just take the time. I was revisiting the story this week of Peter and John going into the temple to pray, and there's a man there. He's lame from birth. And I love how King James says it says that Peter and John fastened their eyes upon him. And then he said, and he fastened his eyes on them. How many know that's what it takes to meet people's needs? You gotta look eyeball to eyeball. How many have ever looked eyeball to eyeball and I don't think I want to go there? Come on. You ever caught somebody's eyes and you knew they had a need? And it's so easy when you see they got a need that you just maybe turn the other way. But Peter and John fastened their eyes and they looked at him and said, you're asking. You know how this man had been there for years. Jesus passed by that man. Jesus passed by that man. He went into the temple. I mean, no, Jesus went into the temple. This man, Jesus even passed this man at the temple. And we'll talk about that next week, how that because he is our high priest, he's made us a kingdom of priests. And so they fastened their eyes and they said, we don't have any money to give you, but what we can give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many know that was the greatest gift that man could ever receive? Now he could go make his own money. Now he could go do whatever he wanted to do. There's a word for God. I was sharing with the Wednesday night. There's two Greek words for good. There's a Greek word for good that you can leave here and go do something good. You can do something good any day of any moment of your life. You can do something good. I can give an encouraging word. I can bless somebody and give somebody money. I can help somebody through a difficult time. I can do that every single minute of every day. But there's a time when good can only be done at that moment. And when that moment passes, good can't come back. You'll never have the opportunity again. It'll never come back to you. You'll miss the day of your visitation. And we have helped other people miss the day of their visitation because we won't fasten our eyes upon them. We won't take the time to look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, what can I do? What can I do? There is a church, I forget the name of the church, but they have taught their people, and they do this every day. Every time they walk up to somebody and they greet them and they meet them, they look at them eyeball to eyeball and they say, can I pray for you about anything? And without fail, they say that most of the people give them something to pray about. Why? Because they realize that they must make sure that they give that person every single day the opportunity for salvation. To be saved out of, saved through, saved from something. We have that privilege as priests. Amen. He is the King of Peace, and he won his enemies by forgiving them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While he's being crucified, not later. While they're nailing the spikes in his hands and his feet. While they're spitting on him. While they're ridiculing him. While they're mocking him. He says, Father, forgive them. While it's happening. We have a hard time doing it 6 weeks after it's happened. What if we lived our life in the midst of it? I forgive you. While you're hitting me, I forgive you. Anybody know that Jesus said, bless your enemies? What do we want to do? We want to curse them, right? Of course you do. Your flesh does, but I'm going to show you in a moment how to get past that, and you don't have to live by the flesh, you live by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, the flesh means nothing because you came from the Spirit and you're going back to the Spirit. You see, after Jesus was crucified, after he gave up the ghost, or gave up his spirit, and said, "Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit," they took a body down from the cross. They took a body and went to a tomb. They took a body and they placed it in the tomb. They took a body. They didn't take Jesus. Jesus never was in a tomb. Never. He was never, ever in a tomb. His body was, but he wasn't there. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read 10 verses to get to the critical verse. "Therefore, I, the prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all." Will the church ever get that? Will the church ever, ever, ever get that? There's just one of us. There's just one Lord of all of us, one faith, one baptism. "However, he has given each of us special gift through the generosity of Christ." That is why the scriptures say, "When he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to men." Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended into our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. See, when he gave up the spirit and he paid the price, he paid the debt on the cross, he went into hell. And he went into a place called paradise. Paradise was a place where all the people of the old covenant went because Jesus had not come yet. And so there's this place called paradise. Some called it Abraham's bosom. And there was a great gulf fixed between it and another place over here called hell or Hades. And so Jesus goes down, knocks on the door of hell. It's open. He goes in. He walks up to the prince of darkness. He walks up to the prince in the powers of the air. And he says, "Hand me over the keys to death, hell, and the grave." You say, how do you know he did that? Because Revelation says he holds in his hands the keys to death and hell. Hello. So he goes into paradise and he goes into hell because those people never had an opportunity. Jesus wasn't there yet. And so he goes and he takes paradise and he leads them captivity out of it. Say hallelujah. Wow. There was an Easter play years ago, and this little boy was to play, and he was playing. He was a young man, and there was this big tube. And he was to get into the tube and slide down the tube. And while he was sliding down the tube, he was to holler, "I'm descending into hell." And he got sick. And so this heavier boy had to play his part. So he jumped into the tube and didn't go anywhere. And he was stuck. And there was this awkward, awkward silence until one little boy cried out, "Praise God, hell is full." Shouldn't we praise God, hell is empty? Oh, man. No, I want him to go to hell. Jesus doesn't. He came so that all may have eternal life. He came so that none would perish, but all would come to repentance, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's how loving he is, that he loves his enemies. He loves them. He wants to fill the entire universe with himself. Wow. No sense in going anywhere. It's raining real hard. You know, somebody asked me this morning, said, you know, you're going to preach about 20 minutes because, you know, a storm's coming in. I told him about the story the preacher used to put a search in his mouth, and he timed his sermon by the search in his mouth. And it worked really well until he put a button in his mouth one day. I've got a button in my mouth right now. So let me finish. So Jesus comes announcing, I'm king. I wish you would accept me, because there's a lot of people, maybe half of them accepted him. Out of those 2.5 million Jews, I just wonder what would have happened, Calvin. I asked myself this question. What would have happened had Israel accepted him wholeheartedly right then, right there? What would the course of history been like had they? According to Matthew 24, there was a prophecy coming of the destruction of Jerusalem, and it would be surrounded by armies, but there would be people who would escape, who would believe. And out of that destruction in 70 AD, there were thousands, if not millions, of Jews who were saved because they believed. They believed. They didn't miss their day of visitation. Those two young men that Sunday morning missed their day. And that's why I made a commitment to God that next week after I heard the story. God, I promise you, and I promise the people I pastor, I'll never get up on a Sunday morning. They going through what they go through to get here, I'm going to give them something to take home that will build their life and make them better. That's my mission statement, is to make people's lives better. Just make it better. Mother Teresa, her whole mission for all those years in India was to help the person with AIDS die with dignity. Just make that person's life a little bit better. Boy, if we could just claim that. Let's just make things better, huh? He goes into hell, he preaches. He had to go in there. He had to preach the gospel to those who had never heard it. He had to go to those Old Testament saints. He had to go to them. They had never heard. It was prophesied, but they had never had the chance. Would God be a loving God? Would Jesus be a loving Jesus if he didn't give all the people? Job saw it. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I will stand in that day. Job knew it. Job's one of them in paradise when Christ comes down there. I knew you was coming. I knew you were coming. And there are people, I believe, in hell. I knew you were coming. Thank God you came. The Bible says he created hell for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. I kind of live by what the Bible says. I try my best to live by what the Bible says. Is that why you don't preach hellfire and damnation? Absolutely. Absolutely. I preach heaven. Preach Jesus. Preach God's love, God's compassion, God's mercy. He is a good, good Father. All things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. Them he called, he justified. Them he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or if you want to take hell, it's going to the lowest part of despair you can go. He went there to get you out. The worst thing you can ever go through in this life, he's here to get you out. He's here to get you out, get you through. He's for you. Paul went on to say in Colossians, you were dead because of your sins. Because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to his cross. He became your advocate when he died on the cross. He became your advocate when he ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says, ever making intercessions for us. So that means no condemnation can come against you while he's there as your advocate. Anybody felt condemned this week? At all? Shouldn't. You don't have to. Felt any guilt? You don't have to. When you feel it, just know Jesus has already taken care of it. Already taken. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So he took the law and he says, the law is against you. It's against you. I'm going to take and nail it to the cross. Then he said, in this way he disarmed the spiritual rules and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. He disarmed the enemy. And now he has no power over you but deception. The only power the enemy has at all, if, listen, how many know that if the devil and his demons had power, they'd take you out today? Wouldn't he? If you were the devil, would you take him out today? If you had the power to do it, he'd take you out today. He can't do it. He does not have that power. The keys to death, hell, and the grave has been given to Jesus. Satan does not have any power. He is the father of lies. He's deception. And all he can do is deceive you into thinking you're not who God says you are. You are not who Jesus says you are. The only thing he can do is deceive you. To get up here and deceive you is the only authority and power he has, is deception. But we serve the God of truth, the Father of truth. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ by himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from all spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate when we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe body discipline, but they provide no help conquering the person's evil desires. None of those things, he said, you can't conquer it by saying, I won't do it. You conquer it by being who you are, and that not having authority and power in your life. Eric, I want you to, for just a moment, celebrate with me Jesus. I want you for a moment to celebrate the King, the Prince of Peace, who's come to bring peace to this world by bringing love to this world, not war. Think about that for a moment. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen does her little ones, and yet you would not. And you missed it. you missed it. But I've come to bring peace, but not the way that men try to. They think they get peace by war. I don't know that we've ever gotten peace by war. I don't know we've ever gotten peace by war. It seems to me that one war breeds another war, and that war breeds another war. It just seems like it just breeds another battle, doesn't it? You know why Moses gave the law? He gave the law an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know why he gave that? Well, it seems right. You pluck my eye out, pluck your eye out, right? You knock my tooth out, knock your tooth out. That's not how it works. Revenge never work eye for an eye, tooth. Moses is trying to take 3 million people and bring some law and order to them. Because the guy wouldn't, if you plucked out his eye, he's taking both of yours out. That's what revenge does. It goes beyond. You hit me hard, I'm hit you harder. And he says, I got to bring some law and order to this thing. And so he brought in the law. And Paul said it never has worked. Jesus even said, I didn't tell you you could do that. God didn't say you could do that. Moses told you you could do that. Oh, you're meddling now, Buren. I didn't give you a writing of divorcement. Moses gave you that. It's not how it was from the beginning. That's not what I said. Trying to bring law and order, you try to bring it all you want. It comes by love. It comes by somebody giving up. I've even been married more than a day. Did you? You probably said somewhere along the way, I won that battle. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some pastoral wisdom. You never win a battle with your wife. You never win. You may think you won, but you didn't. The only way a battle's won is both throw up the white flag. Both throw up the white flag. When I was a little boy, we had BB gun fights. Yeah, I wish we'd had computers back then. I never got in but one. My brother got into BB gun fights all the time. I mean, there would be four or five guys on one side of the road and the four or five with all BB guns. It's a wonder an eyeball didn't get. And I got in a. Eddie gave me a BB gun. I'm just a little boy. And I'm scared. All I did was lay. I remember laying in the ditch on my BB gun. I said, I ain't shooting because I don't want to be shot. I'm running across a yard and I could hear, pew, pew, pew. And they're not shooting paintballs, they're shooting BBs. And one battle we had, this little boy had a stick with a white flag on it. Because that's what we did. Y'all remember when you played, the little boy got the stick with the white flag, I surrender. And he's walking and he's bare chested, Will. And he's got his white flag and he's waving this white flag, and I'm standing there going, thank God, the battle's over. The victory's won. Eddie took this BB and pointed it at that guy. I said, no, he's not going to do it. Shot him right in the belly. I mean, he's waving the white flag. I'm going, how many know we didn't win that battle? That battle escalated into family feud. That he went home and his mom and dad came out of the house. Now we got parents warring against each other. I'll never forget that. You get it by really surrendering. Peace really comes by love. Peace really does. Peace really comes by drop your weapon. Drop your weapon. Give it up. I want you to stand and There's a song we sung this morning about water. Something about water. The washing of the water, the word, baptism, washing. Something about water. Glory of the Lord will cover the land as the waters cover the sea. How many know you can't look at any part of the sea and not see the water? You with me? You can't look at any part of the sea and not see water. God said one day the glory of God's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? Just what it says. You won't be able to see any part of the earth and not see His glory. Able to. That's what God's after. You won't be able to reflect God's glory until you see God's glory. Now, this is deep, what I'm about to tell you. One of the most profound things you'll ever hear me say. Paul says we're changed from glory to glory as we reflect. How many know that the moon is just a reflection of the sun? The light the moon gives is because it's reflecting the sun. If you want God's glory in your life, you have to reflect it. And the only way you can reflect it is that you see it in other people. And when you see the glory in your wife, in your husband, in your children, in your grandchildren, when you see it in your friends, when you see the glory, you reflect the glory. And that's the only way you get it. That's why I learned a long, long time ago to see the best in people. Because if you'll see the best in them, you'll reflect the best. If you see the worst, you'll reflect the worst. You reflect glory. I see it in you. I reflect it. Not to see it in you, I won't reflect it. Judge not, that you be not judged. But with every measure that you measure out, will be measured back to you. It'll happen. Everything that's going on in our life is only this reflection. Back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. Tell you how you won your battle. Maybe one day in your life with your wife, as you said, I'm sorry, forgive me, right? You won the battle. You won the battle when you dropped your weapons and said, forgive me, I'm sorry. He is our standard. Is our standard. And He loved His enemies. I got to say this, then we're going to have communion. I almost fell out about 2 weeks ago in the parking lot from this statement that I made, because the reality of it would just overwhelm me. If God told you to forgive your your enemies. Then what does God have to do? Would God tell you to do something and he not do it? Does that make sense? If he told you to forgive your enemies and he's required me to bless my enemies and forgive my enemies, does not that put that requirement on him? Isn't he required to do that too? Isn't he that kind of God? He's required to do that. He's not going to tell you to do something he's not going to do. He's required to forgive. He's required to bless. Let me tell you something. We have only scratched the surface of this amazing, astounding, overwhelming, all-embracing, all-forgiving, all God's love. It's just, we've only scraped the surface of how awesome and great and powerful and merciful and loving it is. Every time I think I got there, Joe, every time I think I'm just about there, bam, I'm just overwhelmed by how awesome and awesome and awesome he is. That's why he said, when you take this communion, do it in remembrance of me. And that's the standard for which I'm raising up and making this day, on that Passover, a new covenant in my blood, that you love one another. As the elders are coming and station themselves, and if you come for communion, just go to your left and come around, and everything flows the way it should. Just go to your left and come down and take your elements and go back. Said it once, we've said it a thousand times. In the night, the moment he was betrayed, he took the bread, said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same night, he took the cup and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for you." this do in remembrance of me. It's a constant reminder. That's what it is, a reminder of what has been accomplished for us. Wow.
For just one second, our ushers will be preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings. If you got your bulletin, there was a connection card in there. Please fill that out each and every week and drop it in the bucket or drop it in the box in the back. Helps us, you, to communicate with us, and we have lots of information in there to communicate with you. One of those things is that this Wednesday is our children's egg hunt. We have been testifying every Wednesday night, and it's been powerful. You missed last Wednesday. Diane Miller was here to show slides of where a tumor was on the screen, and then the next slide, the tumor was gone. Hallelujah. A miracle, right before the doctor's eyes. I mean, there was a needle going in, and as it went to go towards the tumor, the doctor said, turned to the assistant and said, "Did you see it this way? Oh, look. See the needle? Going to the tumor. It's gone." The goodness of God is so great. So this Wednesday night, as the children are Easter egg hunting, we're going to be testing. We'll be talking. We're going to be in the youth building. We're going to have a hot dog meal, hot dogs, chips, and drinks. Come, enjoy, hear of the goodness of God. So refreshing, the goodness of God. Next Sunday is Easter. But Howard, if you've got one more quick announcement for us, come on up. Ushers, you can go ahead and begin receiving, taking those up.
Good morning. Good morning. Just for a minute, my family's probably scared to death over there because I've got the microphone. You know. I want to speak to you for a minute because, well, first you're going to how many people are excited about Eagles Way? Let me say hands. Don't turn around, Beer. You won't see everybody not holding their hands up. How many excited about this sanctuary for us being dry today with the rain? Church, we're going to provide you with an opportunity coming forward. How many wants an opportunity to participate and do something for this church? Now, get up here and sing. I'm not going to ask you to sing. How many wants to help this church? Let me see your hands. Again, Beard, don't look back. You don't want to see this. We don't get very many chances through the year, at least you don't think you do, to help this church. But we're going to start giving you some of those opportunities. All right? You excited about that? All right? You know, I got to sing with Brandon. So, how many people wants to help? How many people wants to help this church be more than it is? Again, Beer, don't look back. We're going to give you one of those. Uh-oh. Yeah. This is not a tornado warning. Is it? Everybody, I told my wife earlier, if you hear that go off, grab one of these pillars on the side over here. Grab on it, and then grab the person grabbing it. You might, and that's no joke. I mean, if you look at tornadoes, I'm in the building business. These things are anchored over here. All right, grab one of those. Go to the side. This is your public announcement going forward. How many people don't want to, Bjorn alluded to it earlier, how many people don't want to be a wicked servant? I don't. Okay, you brought that up. I thought I'd remind everybody not to be a wicked servant. And but we're going to give you an opportunity to help. All right. And I'm going to prophesize for you for a second, too. There's going to be a lot of people here next week. It's a good prophecy. You pretty much know that one's going to come true. So next Saturday, we're going to have a day of help out here in the front yard. We need your participation to make this place beautimous. And we would like all of you guys to participate and come help us to make light work. Many hands make light work, and so we need many hands. And it's also, as the days go forward, and we're going to make you realize what we need to keep water out of this place. And that's a commitment. You wouldn't want it at your own house. How many will go home today and there was a hole in your roof and water was coming through? How many would not feel pretty good about that? We have those here. You might not know it, but we have those here. And they don't get fixed by themselves. You'd fix your house. This is your house. You're going to have to help fix it. I mean, you want to come here. I love coming here. I love everyone here. I love the fact that we have a place for our kids, but you still got to take care of your house. And they're making me do this because I guess I figure I'm bigger than everybody else. Won't nobody jump on me. Jane thought that was funny. But again, we're going to need your help next Saturday to help get ready for that prophecy I just gave you about all these people coming to give them, when they drive up in our parking lot, when they come in this facility, that they can see that we're taking care of our house. Will? 8:30 to 12. Okay, so we'll have things here for you, and it won't take long. It won't take long at all. But we'll be here. We'll get done. Oh, we probably won't be here. How long do you think, Will? Well, if two people show up, we're going to be here all morning. You know. Well, three people will be here because I'm going to drag my two here, you know. But there'll be three. But, again, if you can show up next Saturday morning, help everyone here, gives you an opportunity not to be a wicked servant and participate and understand and feel good about how this church is going to look next Sunday. Because that's our Super Bowl. It's our Super Bowl. I tell Beer that all the time. Come say, is this your Super Bowl, buddy? You ready? You're going to throw, you know, throw deep. Throw deep into the corner. We'll make it. But again, next Saturday, be here early in the morning, and we'll have some stuff for you to do. Thank you, Will.
Everyone staying. God bless you. Have a fabulous day. Go and take what has been given to you today and share his love with somebody else. Be blessed.